Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Real As Yates podcast. We are your hosts, Taylor Yates
and Paige Yates.
In this podcast, we share with you everything we know about real estate, Greater Boston, and life. And in case you're wondering, yes, we are in fact related. We are a top producing mother-son real estate agent team where we lead, surprise, the Yates team. How you doing this week, Mom?
Good. Can't complain. The weather is really nice, which is great. Mm-hmm. Spring has sprung. And I just need to ask, have you ever done pickleball?
No, I've seen it. I know exactly what it is. I am familiar with the cultural phenomenon. I have not yet played it.
Because, for instance, when you were coaching soccer at the town fields in Belmont, they have got
pickleball courts set up next door.
I've yet to play it, but a friend of mine opened up indoor courts at Boston Pickle Club. They offer teaching, learn how to play, open clinics.
Oh, there you go.
You know, you can sign up for hours. So I'm really hoping in the next couple of weeks, I'm going to see if I can get a lesson so I can understand what this phenomena is. It's the fastest growing sport in the U.S.
Right.
It's unbelievable.
Are you worried that it's going to ruin like your tennis stroke or something like that?
I don't think so. A lot of tennis players convert to it. I don't think so. And they say as you age, the nice thing about pickle is you can play at all different levels.
Yeah.
And it's not such a big court like a tennis court. I'm anxious to try it. And I just didn't know if you'd ever tried it, but it kind of looks intriguing to me.
Everyone I know has tried it. I'm the holdout. It has nothing to do with like dislike or distaste for the sport. It's time. When am I going to do it? I got two kids. I've got this job. I'm podcasting with my mom. Like, yeah.
Life is busy.
Yeah. I could be pickleballing right now, Mom.
Sorry about that.
Okay. So this month we're talking about making an offer they can't refuse. And this week we're going to talk about dates. If you've ever made an offer before, you know there are several dates listed in there. And we're going to talk about the ones that really matter, that really drive your offer strategy, how you can use those to your advantage. Maybe I'll start with the ones that I think matter, Mom, and then you can take the lead on whichever one you want. So I think the offer deadline matters, the purchase and sale date matters, the closing date matters, and when it comes up, the use and occupancy date matters.
I would also add in contingency dates. So if you happen to put in contingencies, the faster you can get rid of those contingencies, the more appealing it is to the seller. And sometimes you can't control those dates because you're dependent upon a bank or a mortgage company or an inspector to get there. But I do think the tighter the offer, the better chance you have of the seller liking it.
Why don't we start with offer deadline? Whether or not there's any strategy here at all kind of depends on the competitive situation. If I think I've got some leverage, I will set a tighter offer deadline. You want to give them enough time to actually like think about it because people talk about these things called like exploding offers where it's the turnaround time is like 90 minutes. I don't love that strategy because I think most people shut down when they're put under the gun like that, the same way they shut down when they get a spam caller. And it's like, if you give me your social security number right now, you can get $1 million. So you want to avoid that reaction, but you don't want them to have a lot of time to create other options for themselves. So, you know, I might say, hey, it's an 8 p.m. deadline on this offer, or it's like a midnight deadline on this offer if I think I've got some leverage to dictate terms.
That would be a same day offer.
Yeah, exactly. A same day offer. If I feel like I don't have leverage, it's super competitive, we're in a bidding war. I look at, often the instructions are on MLS when they want the offers to be good until. So I just do that.
I want to bring up a discussion that has been bothering me in this competitive market. I don't understand, nor do I support people putting in MLS offers due Monday at noon, but the seller has the right to take a incredible offer if it comes sooner. I think that's truly a conflict of interest because it's not really a deadline. It's whoever can pay the most money for that home. And I think the seller has the right to do that. But I think in a competitive market, it might work. But as the market shifts a little bit here and it gets a little bit softer, and when we have more inventory, I just want to say, I think it's a very wishy-washy approach to telling the buyers what the protocol is for putting in an offer.
Right. Let's just be clear. You're talking about a different kind of offer deadline than I'm talking about.
Correct.
What I'm talking about is on your offer, you have to say when it's good until. There's no such thing as like an open-ended contract. And so that's what I talk about when I say offer deadline. It's the one the buyer sets. You're talking about the one the seller sets. That's the latest time that they will accept an offer and whether or not they'll honor that. You know, I've got mixed feelings. Here's the challenge, right? It creates so much opacity for both the sellers and the buyers to have these early offers. And yes, technically, it is the seller's right to sell their house basically whenever they want to. But, you know, what do you do? Like, if you get this offer that's 10% over your list price and you get it on Saturday and your offer deadline's on Monday, do you take it?
I understand why it's happening. But when we are just talking about what offer deadline to put on your offer, I think we can advise you. But in this particular market, the rules of engagement are not always clear.
Right, exactly.
And I feel like sometimes, like for instance, if you are putting in an offer and the deadline is Monday at noon, are you going to advise your buyer put an offer in good until Saturday night?
Right.
8 o'clock, if they wish to do that. So right now, I think it's a little bit hard to know exactly when to make the offer good until. If it's just a normal process, typically we talk about either 12 or 24 hours, depending on how we see the property, whether the sellers are accessible or not. So I think that the deadline is always, oftentimes I defer to the listing agent because they're going to tell me whether they can reach the seller, whether or not I have to go to a lawyer who's helping the seller. So sometimes, as much as we want to say, okay, let's do it quickly, we sometimes have situations that delay what we would like to have in an offer deadline. So that's all I'm saying.
No, I get it. So let's talk about purchase and sale date. This is the one that I think is the most interesting because we as agents and buyers have the most control over this. So in Massachusetts, we have this step in between offer accepted and closing called purchase and sale. And it's kind of unique to us. I'm sure there's some other states that do it, but a lot of states don't. Between offer accepted and purchase and sale, you have to do inspection. If you had an inspection contingency, you have to have your attorneys draw up the purchase and sale agreement, which is basically an expanded version of your original offer, your one pager. And when I got started, standard purchase and sale was 10 business days. You had 2 weeks to pull it all together. I started doing 1 week because I felt that I was organized enough that it was pretty easy to do it in 1 week. And then, you know, in the pandemic, when things were ultra competitive, I'd get that down to like 3 days. And I actually even think that there's still wisdom. My preferred strategy whenever I can get my clients to do it is make your purchase and sale date Friday because we can do it. We can get it done. We're organized enough. We know what we're doing. We're prepared. And then second, you create value for the seller. Because if our deal falls apart, they just go right back on the market for the next weekend.
Yeah. I think that is what's evolved for purchase and sale dates since the pandemic. We had a, not a standard, but
a convention,
amount of time that has been modified as the market has changed.
Yeah. The reason why this matters to sellers, by the way, is because that's when you put down 5% of the value of the home. A lot of people walk away from their earnest money check. Not a lot of people will walk away from 5% of a house in Massachusetts.
And just
expensive.
Clear, the earnest money is the initial $1,000 or $5,000 or $10,000, whatever buyer tends to put down with their offer.
You know, the next one's closing, which is obviously the most important date. I usually defer to whatever the seller wants because to me, anything that I can give them that's not more money, I'm like, just do that because like just makes you more competitive. There's a couple of parameters on that based on whether or not you're getting a mortgage. If you are, rate locks come into play, underwriting comes into play. So there's kind of a minimum and maximum range, but I try and go for the fastest I can. A lot of banks have gotten it to 3 weeks from the purchase and sale agreement, which I love.
Yeah. And that's probably knowing the lender that you're working with, whichever lender you ultimately
totally.
Go with. There are some that are standouts and can get it done quickly. And there are others that you know you'll never get done before 60 days. So it's also, from our perspective, is being able to share with our clients, people that we think can get the job done in a timely manner.
Correct. The last one's use and occupancy. This comes up in ultra competitive situations. So if you want, you can let the seller stay in their house for up to 60 more days and basically be your tenants. And you can negotiate a rental rate with them to cover your costs, et cetera. Again, if it's competitive, I'll often defer to the seller on this because I think it's short money. And in a competitive market, give up on the short money so that you can save the big bucks and get the house.
And I think it just depends on the sellers, where the seller's going, when they need to go there, what the buyers need to do to the house, if it needs work.
Right.
So there's a lot of things that can be done.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back with our joke and a question from the audience.
Did you know that Taylor and I aren't just your favorite real estate podcast hosts? We're also pretty darn good at our day jobs. With over 30 years experience and $1 billion sold in Greater Boston, we're real estate agents you can trust. If you're buying or selling a home, reach out to us at contact@yatesboston.com today.
All right, Mom, hit me. Be funny this week.
Oh, gosh. I just had a good one. This is a really good joke. I feel like this is kind of like the jokes that there used to be a joke book that every kid had.
Yeah.
It was like, what's red, white, and blue? Or how does time fly? You know, those kinds of things. But this joke, I think, is going to make a lot of sense. Why don't chimneys charge for their stories?
Why don't they charge for their stories? I don't know, because they have the flu?
Because they're always on the house.
Oh, that was good.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Oh, that made sense.
All right, mailbag. What's the fastest closing timeline a person can expect? So there's like the theoretical number and then there's the practical number. The theoretical number is like next business day. If you're paying all cash, so you don't have a mortgage, you have an attorney that is willing to work through the night to get your purchase and sale done. I guess, I don't know, maybe you need 2 business days because you do have to sign a purchase and sale and then
probably
title
have
search.
To do some title search.
Right. So there's a couple of things. So maybe it's not quite like a day, but it can probably be within a week.
I think in 35 years of doing this, my fastest was 2 weeks.
Exactly. And you probably were all cash. You had clients who were ready to go. Most people, though, we're talking like 30 days because you usually need, basically, the mortgage clock, which is the bottleneck in this whole process, starts the day after purchase and sale. And it takes 3 weeks for them to do underwriting. So you take 3 weeks, add however long it took you to get to purchase and sale, there's your closing timeline.
Correct.
Thanks for the awesome question. If you're a curious cat and would like your question to be considered, you can just send us an email at contact@yatesboston.com or slide into our DMs at Yates Team Boston. That's it for this week. Be sure to tune in next week wherever you find your podcasts. If you enjoyed this, be sure to like, subscribe, and give us that 5-star review. You can also find us on Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok at Yates Team Boston or on the web at yatesboston.com.